So we're in a series on dynamic gratitude, and today I'm going to speak about the words and actions of Thanksgiving, which without words and actions, your Thanksgiving isn't dynamic. It's not powerful. Just like your worship, without words and actions, Thanksgiving, just feeling it inside, is not powerful. Just being thankful inside is not what God says when he says to be thankful. He says with prayer and petition, be thankful. All the scriptures, when he says be thankful, it is a heart attitude, okay? But there has to be action to your gratitude. There has to be words attached to your gratitude. But first, before we go on, I want to address a problem we have as Christians. And some of you will go, yes, finally, he's going to address blank, or he's going to talk about blank. But this problem I want to talk to you about is the issue we have with keeping our relationship with Jesus private, personal, quiet, and contained within a small box. Now, we just talked a little bit about worship, that worship is not contained here on Sunday morning. And our gratitude is not supposed to be contained in this small box where we're thankful for religious things. We're thankful for Christian things alone. But our relationship is private and personal, but it's expressed outward. Mine and Krisha's relationship after 29 years is private and personal, right? Some of you know some about our relationship. Some of you know some of our fights that we've had, some of our squabbles. You maybe know some of the painful areas of our marriage in the last three decades. And even saying the last three decades seems like, wow, 80s, 90s, 2000, 2010s. That's actually, we've been together for four decades, but 30 of 20, 28, going to be 29 here in another month. But you know those. But you see physical manifestation of the private parts of our marriage in Zeke and Victoria. You see that. You see and hear a manifestation of what God's doing in us when you have a meal with us. You see and hear a manifestation of God's work in our lives when you hear me speak about my marriage or what God's done in me. Those are things that private and personal, but private and personal relationship produces life that people can see. Life that people can hear, life that people want to be a part of. We have this amazing faith, and it's built and it's brought us into a relationship that is personal, that is private, but it's meant to be open to the public. It's kind of like if you won the lotto, it would be private, you would benefit from it, but wouldn't other people around you benefit from it? You would give some out, you would give it to your children, you would give some to your friends, it would be a blessing to people around you. It's built upon this private thing that's meant to be public. And when we keep keeping Jesus private, it becomes almost septic in a bad way, where it becomes almost corrupted. Because if you put something in a pot that's meant to take root and produce fruit, those roots all get tangled up. And the fruit is a lot less, and the beauty is a lot less, and it wants to grow. Your life wants to grow, but contained in a really small thing, not deepened into the ground, not sunk into who Jesus is, not declaring who he is, we make ourselves smaller, and we can say we want to grow, but there's a public voice we're supposed to have, a public face we're supposed to have, and I want us to think about that when it comes to gratitude. That you should never feel gratitude and not express gratitude. You should never feel gratitude and not express gratitude. You should never think that's a great waitress and not tell her you are an amazing waitress. Here's a tip. We should always express our gratitude. And it's so much easier to express gratitude nowadays. You can shoot off an email. You can shoot off a text. Zeke and I spoke on Wednesday night for the goal setting, and Krisha texted Zeke three sentences that were way to the point, super like, I'm so grateful for this about your speaking, and this is what it did, and it's his mom, and she did it to me later on that night because we left for Dallas, and there's just a moment away. It's just a couple keystrokes for you to be grateful, but your gratefulness, your thankfulness that you feel, the thankfulness that you think about has to be expressed. It's meant to be expressed. The worship that you sense, your desire to love should be expressed. You should never feel love or think, I love that person, without expressing that love, without giving that love away. So that's something, that's a problem I think that we have in church. We talk about what grace is. We talk about what love is. We define it, and we have some cool graphics around it, but we have a difficult time like actually walking in those things in vibrant ways. So in dynamic gratitude, we're talking about expressing and exposing our thankfulness for being a creation and a child of an amazing God. And I wanted to make it abundantly clear that expressing gratitude is noisy and active expression of our faith and thankfulness. Expressing gratitude is noisy and active. We saw that last week with the leper that came back. He came back loud and he threw himself at the feet of Jesus. He didn't just go as he was away from Jesus and got healed and go, "Thank you, Jesus," where Jesus couldn't hear it. He took the trek back and he got an extra level of healing when he said, "Thank you." And he said it was loudly he said it. And he went to the feet of Jesus and gave the only thing a leper would have to give would to be at the feet of Jesus. That's the only thing he would have to give because he had no possessions. He lived in a leper colony most likely. The story of Naaman is a great story that we're going to read. And Naaman's smart. Naaman is wealthy. Naaman is powerful. Naaman thinks he knows what the prophet of God should do. Naaman thinks already that he knows what his way to healing is. He's wealthy, great position, great possessions, yet he has a hideous disease called leprosy. Yet he chooses to be grateful. He chooses to be in the river and not to just go home, but to go back to the prophet and thank God for the prophet. Thank God for being who God was. And he brings a gift, and he's noisy about it also. So the story of Naaman is symbolic of what happens when we come to Jesus for salvation and for healing. Jesus asks us to do something that we don't want to do, almost always for our healing. He asked us, with the lepers, he asked us to start a journey. He asked the lepers to start a journey that in their present condition, they could not end that journey. They could not show themselves to the priest if they weren't already healed. So he sends us all the time to do things. Start a ministry. Be kind. Be bold. Where in your present state, you can't be kind because you have meanness in your heart. You have hardness in your heart. In your present state, you can't be bold because you're bound up with fear. In your present state, you can't be a good spouse because your habits are so bad. But he asks us to be that, and we walk towards that before it's even completed. And in our going, we get healed in our going. It's interesting, similar to the Samaritan, Naaman is an outsider to the faith. God uses a lot of stories of outsiders to the faith. And we think you got to get in good with God, get in church, do some right things, get cleaned up, and then the good stuff will happen to you. So you see in 2 Kings chapter 5, we have a setup here where Naaman is a commander of the Syrian army. Naaman is a highly respected man by his king. He has servants. In one raid over into Israel, they bring back a captive girl. And that captive girl sees Naaman, that he has leprosy. And she tells her mistress, I wish that Naaman knew Elijah, the prophet of Israel, because that God would heal him. The mistress tells Naaman in a story that you can read here in the first part. They get to stand in front of Elijah's home. So in verse 9, so Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of his leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except Israel, so please accept a gift from your servant. The prophet answered, as surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I will not accept a thing. And even though Naaman urged, he refused. And you can read both the beginning and the ending of that story. There's a lot of really good stuff in it. But I just want us to talk about two things this morning, is that dynamic gratitude is vocal. He comes back and requests to be healed. He comes in request to be healed, and he gets really, really mad when he tells him what to do. But then he goes ahead and gets healed, and he comes back in a loud voice in front of people and says, thank you. We have to express our thank yous out loud. And I want to note a change also in Naaman's attitude, in his position. So he comes and he's mad at the prophet. He's mad at Elijah because Elijah wants him to dip 7 times in a river. And he has an expectation of what it looks like for him to get healed, of what the prophet will do. But then when he comes back, he makes a request of Naaman, says, I want to give you these gifts. Naaman says to Elijah, I want to give you these gifts. And Elijah says no. And Naaman urges him to take them, and Elijah says no. And Naaman doesn't get mad. He gets mad just for doing something. So things will begin to change in us. And we know out of Luke chapter 4, verse 27, that at the time of the leper, that Naaman was the only man to get healed at that time. So I mentioned last week that there was a long, several hundred year period from somebody getting healed in Israel. And so we go from Naaman to this leper, the one leper that's coming back, and that's the healing that we have. And it fascinates me that Naaman is so furious at Elijah. But then I started thinking about myself. How many times I've demanded God to heal me in the way that I want God to heal me, that I have an idea of how God will heal me, and when he doesn't, I just get upset. So if you're in need of a healing, if it's financial, if it's physical, if it's marital, think about that there's something in here that God might be asking you to do that you're unwilling to do. But what happens as Christians, we're unwilling to like even be mad at God. We're unwilling even to state that we might think that God is wrong. I love that Naaman states that he thinks Elijah is wrong, that the prophet of God is wrong, that the prophet's heard wrong. Because without Elijah being really, really mad, without Elijah being furious, it says, I mean, foaming at the mouth mad, and he turns away, he's not going to go dip. What happens is, his servants then, in verse 13 say, then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? We see this principle of honesty being played out, that when we're honest before the Lord, that our thanksgiving will be greater. God never asks us to say, deny your leprosy, deny your pain, deny that you're sick, deny that you're lonely. He likes it when we're honest and we say, like David says, is, where are you, God? It's like you turned your back on me. I don't even know where you're at. Have you abandoned me? And in that honest language, something begins to happen. And that's something that happens in religion. We learn to hide. We learn to cover up what we believe. We learn to cover up what we feel. We're actually probably afraid to tell God that we're disappointed in him. And maybe even hearing that, you're like, oh, you can't say that. Maybe you're even mad at God. Maybe you think God blew it in some area of your life, gave you something, took away something, won't allow you to have something, or made you a certain way that you're mad at. And to express it allows God to come back and to guide us and keep us. There's a great principle that Jesus shares, this idea that we need to express what is true. Jesus tells the story of a dad with 2 sons, and the dad asked them to do something. And the one son says, absolutely, Dad. Yay, I'm going to do it. It's going to be awesome because I love you, Dad. And he doesn't go and do it. The other son's like, I don't got time. I'm not going to do it. No way. Never going to happen. That son goes and then does it. And then Jesus asks, which son was obedient? And we know that the son who actually did it was obedient. But we are often the son that says, yay, I'm going to live a life of worship, then we don't even put any energy to it. It's better to say, I don't even get what a life of worship means. I don't even get what gratitude means. I don't have much to be thankful for. Look at my life. That's better to start out with that. That's a greater source. That's a deeper way to get to dynamic gratitude in your heart than just trying to come up with words to say. Because dynamic gratitude is not just words to say. You know, last week we talked about the Samaritan, the leper, that if you're not thankful, you might be holding back your healing. If you're not thankful, you might be holding back that next level of thing that God wants you to do. But I think that if we're not honest, we find out in Naaman in the scripture, if we're not honest, we might be blocking our very healing. Our healing might be held up if we hold on to our anger. Our healing might be held up if we hold on to our doubt, if we hold on to our resentment, if we hold on to our fear and we hide it and we say it's not fear, it's not doubt, it's not anger, it's not loneliness, it's not pride. Because in doing that, we often control the disease that we have. And we've got to be honest. We've got to be honest and say, I am sick, I am diseased. I look good on the outside, but I'm lonely, I'm desperate, I'm sad, I'm just that whatever it is, we talk about it, talk to the Lord. And he'll heal us. Think about Naaman. He gets healed after dipping 7 times in a river he thought was inferior, acting out a command he thought was beneath him. Many of us think that asking for God's grace is beneath us. Many of us think that just receiving what God has already done is beneath us, that we should work for it, that we should have some control over it, that we should do something. I think that gets in our way a lot. And the more we become churchified, the better we become as Christians, the harder it is often for us to hear God tell us what to do about our own sickness. Dynamic gratitude will heal you at a deeper level than you've ever thought possible. Your words and your actions based in gratitude will begin to reveal things to you about the mysteries of God, of who he is, how he has saved you, how he has healed you. We see this with Naaman. He comes an unbeliever. He comes with hope. He gets really mad. He follows through anyways. He dips 7 times. He gets healed. He comes before the prophet. And he's totally changed his mind. That this is the only God ever, even though he comes from a background just moments ago that said there's multiple gods. When we are grateful to God for salvation, for healing inside of us, things change drastically. Yet we struggle with thankfulness. We think thankfulness is being polite. We think thankfulness is saying grace at a meal. We think thankfulness is just like, thank you, Herman, for doing this, or thank you, Zeke, for doing that. And that's just being polite. There's nothing spiritual about being polite. There's nothing dynamic about being polite. Oh, you'll say, oh, you have a polite kid, or he's so polite he does this. But it's not powerful. Gratitude, scripturally, is a powerful characteristic of a Christian if we tap into something deep. So dynamic gratitude has words to it. Has words to it. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, when he's talking in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, when you're gathered together, don't speak in tongues that people don't know, because they won't be edified by your thanksgiving. So he's talking about a super spiritual language, a mystical thing. He says, don't do that in front of people because you'll be edified, you'll feel good about yourself, but they won't know what you're thanking God for. Our thankfulness has to be expressed, and it's expressed in words. And it's difficult to express words other than thank God. But God talks about us way more than I love less, or I like being around less, or I'm grateful less was born. God begins to describe what he likes about me. God begins to say what he likes about me. God begins to use words and sentences, and I think volumes of words spoken over us, what he likes about us. So we can tap into a heart deep thing, a deep heart thing, and find out how to be grateful towards people. So we see the Samaritan coming back to Jesus and giving the only thing that he has, which is throwing himself at the feet of Jesus. But we also see Naaman coming back with, it says in, but we didn't read this part, with 150 pounds of gold, with 750 pounds of silver, and with 10 sets of clothing. We'll start with the clothing. Clothing back then represented wealth. So at a time period where there's hardly any, you couldn't buy purple. Not that I would buy purple. I would stick with gray. You couldn't buy blues. They were all expensive things. And they were signs of wealth. They were outward manifestations. So if you showed up somewhere, they would say, that's a wealthy person. So 10 sets of clothing in a time when most people only had one set of clothing that they would wear all the time. To have one that was a special set of clothing was amazing. To have 10 would make you a standout. Just have one would make you a standout. You know, Krishna and I went to Paris on our 25th anniversary, and she has a red coat. Got a hood, and it's a bright red coat. And it was a standout in Paris. I thought Paris would be like super high fashion in color, but it's a lot of grays and blacks and browns. It was really kind of dreary. You could see her 30 feet away in a red coat. I know right where she was, there are so few red coats. You would be that kind of standout. And then 750 pounds of silver and 150 pounds of gold. And I actually priced gold this last week, and it's $1,188.50 an ounce right now, and it would equal 150 pounds of gold today would equal $2,852,000. So he's not bringing a little thing. He's bringing a lot. He's a very wealthy man, but he's bringing a lot to give to the man of God, to give to God himself through Elijah the prophet. We need to come and give God something for our thanksgiving in our worship. David in the Old Testament said, I will not show up without something to give to my God. But we're so willing to do that. We're so willing to show up at a meeting, at a family event, in our home after work, to wake up in the morning to show up with our kids with nothing to give. We're so willing to show up and be with people with nothing to give. Gratitude gives an offering. So like the leper, he gives his life, his full life down. Like Naaman, he does give that, but he gives other. We've got to be giving physical things as signs of gratitude. And what physical things do you have? We've talked about time, treasure, and talent. Time, treasure, and talent. You've got time. But if you don't think that your time is a gift from God, you won't value it. You won't schedule it out. You won't give anybody your time. If you don't think your work of your breath to be able to make a living, to be able to make an income, is valuable, you don't think God gave that to you, you don't think God set you free to do that, to give you breath to do that, you probably won't give any of that. If you don't think you're very talented, or you think it's your talent to do what you want, and you're not grateful to God for giving that to you, you might not give your talent at all. So we have time, treasure, and talent. And if we could see that God gave us those three things, God gives us our very breath, and we'll be grateful, we'll begin to give those things. So I want to challenge you to think about what you give, how you give, in those three areas, to hear God on that. Don't just go away and, well, I don't have anything to give, or I don't know how to give. Ask him how he wants you to give. It might look something as simple as dip seven times in a river that you don't want to dip in, but it'll bring about amazing results. Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them." You were created for good works. You were created for acts of gratitude for what God has done for you. You were created for acts of gratitude for what God has done for you. You were created for acts of gratitude. Dynamic gratitude, powerful, energetic thanksgiving means acting like God, and doing things like God would do. Giving a cup of water, praying for people, helping people, being kind to people, giving your time, giving what you have to people. We've been created for good works. Now, these good works aren't good works that make God happy with us. They're an outgrowth of our gratitude in our worship towards God himself. And notice in the scripture, it says we're to walk in them. We don't have to do good works. We're created to walk in good works. It's who I am. So when I show up somewhere, I bring something with me in who I am. I might do something while I'm there, but when I show up somewhere, I bring something of who I am. I bring him in me. I bring gratitude, thankfulness that I can even show up to a meeting, even to do a job. I walk in those things. So when you think about dynamic gratitude and you think about the sounds and the actions of dynamic gratitude, there's a couple ways you can check. You can ask yourself, you can either look backward and then forward, or you can look forward and forget about backwards, okay? But you can look forward in your week, and you can say, what words will I express that express my gratitude this week? What words will I use? What words will I write? Who will I speak to? You can also look at your calendar and say, this last week, how did I show my gratitude for God this last week? How did I show my gratitude for others by giving my time this last week? How will I show my gratitude for others through my time this next week? How will I show my gratitude for my salvation this next week? You can look at your wallet. You can look at your talent. How did I show my gratitude to God this week? How will I show my gratitude for God's, the energy God's given me, the talents God's given me for this next week? But what we like to do, we just like to say, I'm thankful. Done, check. I'm done. I'm thankful. Oh, I am thankful. I think God's saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. Thankfulness has a look and a feel and a sound and an action to it. Just like Thanksgiving morning will have a look and a feel and a sound and a taste to it, gratitude has that also. So there's a really great story of dynamic gratitude that has to do with the humpback whale. And it was a female. She was weighted down by hundreds of pounds of lines that were connected to traps that were connected to her body. And she was struggling hundreds of yards. She was struggling just to stay afloat and stay near surface. They were all around her body, her tail, her torso. There's even a line that tugged around her mouth. So she was having a really difficult time. This was outside of San Francisco, right outside of the Golden Gate Bridge in a bay out there. And a fisherman spotted it, the whale in distress. And then radioed back, and people came out to rescue her, and they tried a couple different things, but as they began to really see what was happening, they realized, we're going to have to get divers to dive in next to that humpback whale and cut off these lines one at a time and let them be released, and let the humpback whale be released. And they knew that the one swipe of that tail would kill any of the divers that were around that tail. So they did that. They jumped in, they got curved knife, and they started cutting the lines and cutting the crab traps and cutting the lines off. And they said when they were done, they're still in the water. And here's this humpback whale free now. Just like a leper, just like Naaman. Naaman can go home back to Syria. The leper can go back home to his house. But the humpback whale chooses, they said, to go back to every diver in the water and nudge them. And they felt like it was a form of gratitude that well was giving them. That humpback well that had just got released, probably their life saved, went back and thanked every one of them. They said it was like the most beautiful thing they've ever seen, that gratitude. Gratitude is powerful.